The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew from the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our Gospel this morning comes from Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 through 12 and can be found on page 1499 in your pew Bible. Matthew records, "In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.' This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. And people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think that you can say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes the one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus, because we know nothing good comes from any other source. There are several proverbs that speak about acquiring skill or knowledge through practice. Perhaps you have heard in your lifetime someone say, "Practice makes perfect." Or, "Repetition is the mother of learning." And these sayings are good as far as they go, but they're incomplete. Practice and repetition only work. They only work if they are the right kind of practice and the right kind of repetition. Now, perhaps these proverbs could stand a little bit of an update. Maybe perfect practice makes perfect. Or proper repetition is the mother of learning. The fact of the matter is that you can create some really wretched habits if you practice or repeat the wrong thing. Go walk on a golf course sometime. That's for the golfers out there. Whenever we gather information, it is probably wise to remember another proverb about learning the wrong thing. And this is it. If you tell a lie often enough and loud enough, most people will believe it is the truth. That was a problem for the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came to John the Baptist at the Jordan. Both the Pharisees and the Sadducees, well, they practiced their religions, well, diligently. Both of them intensely studied the books of Moses. Both of them, well, they knew their religions very, very well. The problem was that they had repeated wrong things and had practiced in wrong ways. We've talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees before. And the Pharisees had detuned the law by developing the tradition of the elders. The tradition of the elders. It's a set of principles that allowed them to think they were keeping the law when indeed they were not. Now the Sadducees, they detuned the law by teaching that there was, well, no eternal existence. That there was no resurrection, no life after death, and so forth. Now, if there is no existence after death, they would reason, then there is no punishment. No punishment after death. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees often had very spirited debates over their differences. But there is one thing on which they could agree, that there was no need, absolutely no need, for repentance. The Pharisee would say that there is no need for repentance because we can work our way into God's good favor. The Sadducee would say that we don't need to repent because it doesn't make any difference, that there is no eternal punishment. So why repent? Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees agreed on something else as well. They put a great deal of pride into their family tree, that they were descendants of Abraham. They believed that they already had been grafted into Abraham's covenant through circumcision. At the root of their problem is the attitude that God loves them just because they are so very special. The truth is, they had just come up with some religious and cultural teachings and rituals that reinforced their own beliefs. That attitude of believing that God loves us just because we are so special is common to all mankind. It means that you and I have to deal with this problem as well. In some churches, not this one. You could ask someone why we should take them seriously. And he may say, why? I have been a member for X number of years. I have served on such and such committees and boards. I have contributed to this and that and the other thing. And besides all of that, my grandfather was a founding member. Kind of sounds silly. Now, such a statement might carry a lot of weight if somebody is running for public office. It might carry a lot of weight at the Chamber of Commerce. But such a statement means nothing, absolutely nothing in the presence of God, and therefore it means nothing within the Holy Christian Church. John the Baptist, he preached the true attitude that we should have, and that is this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In classical Greek, the word repent deals with the remorse a person has when they realize that they have made a mistake that they cannot undo. A modern example like this, the tragedy and the realization of this horrible mistake they can't undo. Here's a modern, and it's gross. But the modern example might be a hunting accident. A hunting accident where someone thought they were shooting a deer, but it turned out to be a child playing in the woods. Repentance was a profound wish, a wish to take it back, to turn back the clock, to undo what was done, to have a do-over, even to wish the evil had befallen on you instead of the other person. There is sadness, there is guilt, there is remorse, and there is despair in repentance. Now, the tragedy of classical Greek, well, it's this, it's that they had no concept of a remedy. There's no taking it back. There was no turning back the clock. There's no undoing what was done. Unlike our sports, there are no do-overs in real life. What's done is done, and it cannot be undone. When we first hear the call to repent from the mouth of John the Baptist, it doesn't sound much like a remedy. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then further he says, even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire. John the Baptist is telling us that our sins are much worse than we think that they are. He is telling us that all sins, not just the sins that fill us with remorse, all sins deserve the judgment of being cut down like firewood and tossed into a fire. And that fire, the fire he is speaking is it's not just some little campfire. He is talking about the fire of eternal punishment. He is speaking of hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. At first, it seems as though repentance should not only be full of despair, but it should also be full of terror. Terror of the eternal punishment that we so truly deserve. And even so, there is hope in John's words. For he proclaims, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is none other than the reign of the Christ. The Christ, which means the anointed one, has been carrying the sins of the world from the womb. But soon the Christ will reveal himself in a very public way. Soon the Christ will come and add something profound to the meaning of repentance. He will add a second part to repentance. And that second part will be faith. Faith that looks to God for a remedy from the despair and the terror of our sin. The reign of Christ is unlike any other reign. He does not ask you. He doesn't ask you to serve him. No, he comes to serve you. He serves you with the remedy for sin, with his holy, innocent life. He produced the righteousness that you need for your salvation. And then he lifted the terror, he lifted the despair and the guilt of your sin away from you, and he replaced it with his righteousness, the righteousness that he earned. He bore your sin to the cross. And there he embraced the despair, he embraced the guilt and terror of God's wrath against your sin. It is in his battle for you on the cross that Christ reveals the true essence of his reign, the true essence of the kingdom of heaven. There on the cross, he battled for you and for me. And as he revealed the fullness of his reign with his death on the cross, he continued his reign over all things by rising from the dead. The kingdom of heaven includes the promise of the resurrection from the dead to life everlasting. Christ reigns for you forever. Now, repentance has a new, fuller meaning. It's not just the recognition of your sin, along with its sadness and its guilt and its remorse and despair and terror. Instead, it also includes the promise of grace through the gospel. Christian repentance turns you away from yourself and your sin, and it points you to Jesus on the cross. There you see that the kingdom of heaven is there for your forgiveness. It is there to give you the eternal life and salvation that comes along with that forgiveness. We now repent in the certainty that there is forgiveness for us in Jesus Christ. You heard it. I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Advent is a time of coming. John the Baptist tells us that it is the kingdom of heaven that is coming. He also tells us that repentance is the proper preparation for the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, Advent is the time of the year when we remember that our whole life is to be a life of repentance. That life of repentance that looks to Jesus Christ and only to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen.